Traveling under the waters. Good. Most of y'all remember the Sunday school. Come on, blind son. Now, I don't know how I want to hold him. He's blind. He ain't eyes closed. That's a good difference. We were eyes closed blind just a minute ago, but he's blind. He's relying on me. And one thing I was taught earlier, maybe y'all know this already, and I'm not going to be on camera much. Click, I think we're about out of zone. Are we in camera? Good. When I push him down, nobody will know. When when Brother Click is blind, he's feeling with his four other senses way more than his fifth because he lost it, right? We're not walking in utter darkness right now. He knows the platforms to his right. He's probably still sharp enough to remember we're about where I picked him up because he's counting steps. The sound in the room's changing a little bit, but if he was blind, four of his other senses would be making up. He could feel my voice. I've never been that blind. Anybody in here ever been that blind?
Feel your vibrations.
Yeah. He could feel my voice. He could feel the carpet. He could feel the fibers in the carpet when he walked, when he knew the texture. Now, Brother Click, we're going to take a step up here when I tell you to take a step because he's counting on me, all right? First step up. Second step, okay? Blind people do what? They don't really trust nobody, do they? He's got me by the arm, but I want y'all, next time you see a real blind person and they let around on their own, they trust in that stick. We'll go down. I don't have enough money to pay your insurance, all right?
You better be careful.
You know, them knee surgeries, all them old knee surgeries. I was counting dollars. There we go. Well, I got a blind motion out of him anyway. You could go sit with your beautiful wife, blind person. I know you hadn't seen her in a while. But just, y'all with me? Because when we do this story in the line, when we talk about darkness, none of us have been in darkness unless we've been utterly blind. I've been cave diving. That was pretty dark. Not only was it way down in the water, and then we went into no light. That was probably the darkest I've ever been. I've been on some amusement park rides where you go into the light, into the dark. For a split second, it's so dark, I didn't see nothing. All I could hear is people hollering and screaming. Y'all know those kind? Well, just imagine being lit, that you would live like that. Story goes on in John 9 that the young man was brought to the temple. And there was a pool there where they waited for troubles, waters from the angels, and you could get a miracle. But day after day after day after day, well, what you think that feels like? Your mom and your dad or your brother or your sister dropped you off by the pool. The storyline goes that often this guy begged. And I want you to pause on that one for a little bit. How about begging blind? Well, you got to be desperate to beg blind. To me, because I can see, do you trust that somebody's putting something in or maybe taking something out? Is it Charlie Brown Halloween and he threw a rock in your can? And you get to feel your rock later and you thought it was a gold coin? Oh, man, it's a rock. Do you sit there and people have sympathy and empathy for you? And you poor thing, Click. You've been coming here for years and years. Your mama and daddy, you're such a big blind boy now, your mama and daddy don't sit with you anymore. They just drop you off on the curb and they go to work, and you sit here and you beg all day. And Brother Buchanan, he loves Click, so he drops a quarter in the can every day on his way to work, and Sister Buchanan fusses at him and says, you shouldn't quit giving him them quarters, give him a nickel, he can't tell. Right? Are y'all with me? Or she might say, why don't you give him a dollar for once? The dude's blind. He needs help. He ain't never going to work. He's never going to fit in. He's never going to be like us. Right? I want you to think of it, because the meat of it, I'm going to go through faster through the lesson. The lesson we were talking about in the book that we're studying from for Sunday school, this lesson has so much scripture, it wore me out trying to look them all up. And I was hoping today as I look around, most of you are with me because you know the Bible story, but I want to dramatize it for the point. When you're that desperate in life, It could be like being blind. I remember my first church service in the Apostolic Church. I was that blind. I remember repenting. I remember trying to speak to God as clearly as I could. I wasn't raised apostolic, so I didn't know how to pray apostolic. So when they started praying, I was definitely blind. How do you think our visitors feel when the Holy Ghost is moving and we talking in tongues and they barely can speak English good? Because they're intoxicated from last night, or they're still stoned. It's about all here, nice. And you're in there talking it. That's just, y'all with me on the contrast? When people come in here and we're children of the light and we're celebrating, worshiping in the light, and somebody comes into the light from the darkness. Let me not get too far ahead of myself yet. But as we think about this blind man's day, when he came to church that day, he probably thought it was just going to be another day. During his sitting there begging again, somebody does what to him? They touch him. They put dirt in his face in the form of a clay, smeared it on his eyes. I believe the guy was born from birth blind. Y'all, I mean, if you study, he never, and then somebody's touching him on his eyes. I don't know what dead eyes, if you would, blind eyes would feel like. Maybe they feel like our eyes that can see. My eyes get tired. My eyes get sore. I sometimes want to pull them out because of the tension. Anybody else? But what does the blind man feel? Put clay on his eyes and told him to go wash it. And he washes it in there. Wow, he can see. Now instantly, what does he see? He don't know what he sees. He's been blind all his life. Y'all with me? As I tell us, he's been blind all his life. He's still blind with his eyes open in his sight. What he does see now is light. Because everything that was there before them eyes was open. What he sees now is light. Y'all with me? The Pharisees and the leaders at the time go bonkers. Whoa, 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 whoa. Is that the blind dude or is that not the blind dude? Is that the guy? Did y'all change his clothes? Where's his mom and daddy? They try to start pointing sins. Was this kid ever blind? What did his mom and daddy do to have him become blind? Because he hasn't been in the sins of them generations. He sinned in his mama's womb. When I read that again, y'all remember reading that? I don't know if you read it again. He sinned in his mama's womb. Now, come on. That was some deep stuff because it also, we talk about somebody leaping for joy in their mama's womb too. So some things happen inside of mommies that we really don't know. But I was struggled on the, and he sinned in his, look at the work that he had done in his mom's womb. None to say the least, that's how they were believing. And in the midst of all of that, Jesus' mission was taking place, that he came to bring light into a troubled time. That he came to bring light so people could see. He came to bring light so nobody would be in darkness. Amen. His first creative miracle in history, in our Bible, our history book, was that he separated light and darkness. And he made it distinct. The darkness evidently had to be in blind man darkness, is in my narrative, because he placed the moon and the stars so the night wouldn't be as dark. He called the stronger light day and the weaker light night. Y'all remember all the story? Y'all, I saw some of y'all are with me. Good. When you think about it, night, well, it's fixing to get dark. Well, it's still not blind man dark, is it? When you were a kid, did you ever try to see how dark you could get something to be? I did. I wonder how dark we could make it. It was already dark, and I still had it wasn't dark enough. I'm going to make it dark, dark. Ooh, scary dark. The darkness that was once on the face of the earth was so dark in creation, you couldn't see. That's my belief. The light, however, didn't create anything new. The light is his own. The light showed what was on earth. God put the moon, the stars, and the heavens above at night so we wouldn't be scared when the sun went down. Next time it's as dark as you ever seen it dark. How many of y'all go in the country at night? Some of y'all might live in the country and you get away from the lights of the city. And it's pretty dark, but it ain't dark dark. You can still see some. We used to play games with the kids, and probably most of y'all do that, drive for a while with the lights on and then turn them off. Don't tell the sheriff's department, but I still play the game. That's so fun, especially when you're out in the woods. In the Old Testament, the plagues, I believe, were probably the first sign that I would think it was as dark as it was in the beginning. You remember the plagues? And he put on utter darkness on the Egyptians. He was doing it historically to prove a point to the pagan Egyptians. Does anybody remember the sun god? They called him Ra. That was the sun god. They had many gods. But he wanted to put a damper on Ra. So he put him in utter darkness for 3 days. I believe that was blind darkness, darkness. I believe that was the beginning of time, darkness, darkness. Super dark. Just so that the houses of the Israelites, where they still had what? Light, would shine so much brighter. In today's troubled times, spiritually, there are people walking around in utter darkness. We live next to them. We shop next to them. We laugh and joke and tease with them. But they're in utter darkness compared to us who still have the marvelous light. I do get too comfortable being born again. I don't know about you. Sometimes I get so comfortable being born again, I think everybody thinks like me. I do. I'm going to be honest with you. I love to teach plain, and I love to hear plain response. But how many of you feel like I do sometimes? I just forget everybody else is lost. I love this life so much, I forget it. I forget that I, as you would, took Brother Clip up and down the stairs, that there's people walking on the face of this earth. They can't do that because they're blind. They can't wake up a good day sober. They can't wake up a good day without getting high. They can't wake up a good day without cheating on their husband or cheating on their wife. They can't wake up one good day without wanting to beat a kid. They can't wake up one good day without thinking about what they're going to steal. One day. And some of us had lifestyles like that. I'm not proud of mine. I had bad days, and many of bad days before the light was turned on in my life that I'd rather not even discuss today because it's not relevant to the situation. But I can remember, because I am first generation, day after day in the darkness. And there's so much life in darkness. It just said it was dark. It didn't say it, and it was dark and empty after he created. It was just dark. How many of our family members are living in darkness? They can't help themselves. It's so dark they don't even seem like they want us to help them. Scriptures teach us that the light that we teach here, you shine it at people's what? Anybody? You shine it at their feet so they can see where to walk. It's a lamp, Proverbs teaches, where you could see what you're doing. Not a eye beam, like Brother Dean and them do at night when they raid and stun everybody with light. If you can remember many, many things between light and darkness, I do, and this is my notes from the scripture. I told Brother Chris, I was doing this. These are my notes from the scripture. When I forget that I am light, and marvelous light, just like you are, and we look into darkness, if we're not sensitive where we're shining our light, we're going to run somebody off. How do you think so, Brother Keith? The life we live from somebody that's coming out of darkness into light, they can't comprehend it. This Old Testament says, Old English says, they comprehend it not. It's too much to absorb at one time. If we were going to take our heads, if you would. I used to say this when I was a kid a lot. If we switched heads, you'd fall down. You have no idea what's going on in my mind today. You ever heard any cliches like that? If you took what you believe and put it on a sinner instantly, they'd fall down. That's too much all at one time. And vice versa, if you switch places with a sinner right now, you'd fall down. When we see that the Old Testament scriptures put us out into utter darkness, that the Egyptians would look at us and see, how come they got light when this whole place is utter dark? What are they doing that's so different? How can they come in and have the same problems we have and still go, and they're about to hurt somebody? Now, mind you, there's times we got to check ourselves as well. I know I'm very much as guilty as many, that when I forget who I am and what I believe in, I don't do it on purpose. Do you? I think God's made a life for me that I have chose to live in and believe in so much, I get so comfortable, I think it's the greatest thing. And I forget that a lot of people can't walk the walk I walk, talk the talk I talk. They don't see things the way I do at all. I've been around a lot of people. Let me flip before I flip. I've been around a lot of people lately that I've been watching and observing. How many of y'all like to watch people? Like if you went somewhere, you could just sit down, entertain yourself on a bench for hours. Yeah? Okay, good. Most of us are that way. I don't know if that's a bad thing or not. I guess it could be bad if you went extreme with it. But I just love to watch people. I could spend a lot of time in the airports because they're changing people all the time. I like to look at the ones that's walking around in their loss. Total chaos. I like to watch the little kids escape from their parents and their parents turn around and run the kids down. I like to watch people watch people. My daughters are horrible. One of my daughters does this. Stop, people are watching, you watch. There's an etiquette on watching people, right? But I've been watching people lately, and my heart's desire, my burden is to think like they think. That's just something I've been doing lately. Like next time you're out and you're with your coworkers, the next time you're just in public, try to think what people are thinking. Not to be worldly about it, but I want to use it as a tool because there's so many people. Now I have had a burden lately to just flat out tell the truth too. And it's going to come, and I try to watch what I say because just like many of you, when I did not understand the light, I remember knocking on doors in Georgia and telling people they were going to hell if they wouldn't come to church ride on my bus tomorrow. They're lost. There ain't no hope for you at all. Any of y'all used to knock doors? A few of y'all, do y'all remember sending people to hell in their door? That's real good, ain't it? Don't work very well. Not like sending somebody to hell in their own yard. Do you never get them to church? God showed us in a holy place that he would be light. If you study the temples and the tabernacles, there was always a light. There was enough light to make that place a holy place. But that light did not work outside. My 10 cents. You could only use a candle inside. You could only use a soft flame inside. And I do believe, if you would, in symbolically, Jesus' soft flame is always in this tabernacle. It's a light you could want to almost touch. That's the kind of light you got to tell babies, almost touch. That soft light doesn't always work outside. That's why I believe he put the Holy Ghost in us, that we can carry that soft light outside. You can't go very far outside in the wind and have a candle stay lit, can you? You have to put a globe around it if you want to use it for any length of time. I believe in modern, and just take it for a nugget. If you can remember what's in you, it's a soft, beautiful light that you would want to touch. If we were lamps, People would want to come up to us and use us for direction. People would want to use us for comfort when times was troubled in the nights. Amen? Just a quick nugget. Zechariah prophesied that in the soon coming our Savior would be light and light for the world. When the Word was made flesh and it came and dwelt among us in John, that's that light that I was describing to you. Jesus came as that soft light. I think Jesus was very approachable. Myself. I didn't ever seen a picture of him. I've seen pictures of renditions of him. Most of the ones that when I was a little kid, he looked like he probably played for Led Zeppelin in the late 60s and early 70s. Y'all seen them portraits? Somewhere in there? What rendition do y'all have? Some of them, he's of ethnic color. I'm going to be nice. I've toned down a lot lately. Right? But what did Jesus look like? I went to Israel to figure out what he looked like. He looked Arabic. Just if y'all just save you the money to travel to Israel, he looked Arabic. Go ahead and look up somebody Arabic right now if you want to see what he probably looked like. And the Bible says that he wasn't all that great looking of a guy either. Isaiah said he was just a common man. He didn't look like that wall of my grandma. That my grandma had the best Jesus. Them eyes would follow you. I don't know where Jesus that one came from. Them eyes was always watching. Y'all seen that old them old pictures like them eyes would be looking at you? Boy, that messed me up when I was a kid. I'd kind of, that eye would follow me. There were blue eyes, too. I didn't see too many blue-eyed Arabics, but anyhow. Jesus can see all things. Because he is the light. He gave us light that we would have a chance to see. And his precursor, John the Baptist, came and told us about his coming. And what it would mean to us, because when the true light would come and we would receive the true light, we would see all things. I'm going to kind of skip around in some of my notes here in just a minute, but I want to let you know that the great I Am said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am a true vine. When we receive that second one, I am the light of the world, the light that we see from the sun has shadows. Okay? Y'all with me? The true light has no shadows. Y'all with me? True light has no shadows. You can't hide from Jesus. Jesus knew what was going on all the time. He saw a dude hiding by a fig tree. You remember that story? He seen a Samaritan woman. He seen a nobleman's sick son in another city. He sees everything. To believe that he's omnipresent and he's watching all the time is a lot. It's a big pill to swallow. But in the light's always on globally. He can see right now on the other side of the world in darkness where there's hurt people crying right now while we're in church. The same light is there. That's a big pill to swallow until you receive the light. When I received the light, just probably like many of you, that what was in me, I was ashamed of. I had to start cleaning house. How about you? It's been 20-something years since I had the purging, if you would, of my life. Where when that true light came within me and I could see what truly was bad in me that I needed to change, what was truly, truly defining me as a child of darkness that I had to get rid of. It started pretty quick. It was the outside things that went quick. I remember one thing. It was kind of funny. I was thinking about saying it this week, and I'll go ahead and say it anyway. I'll say it softly. I had lots of jewelry. at the time when I got the Holy Ghost. Lots and lots of jewelry. And other jewels that I had, I kept them all and I hid them. Put them up. And I met a beautiful woman in my church. And she had on somebody else's jewel. I said, gonna work on that. When somebody else's jewel was gone, I gave her a ring of my own. I went into my stash box. I had a nugget ring. How many of y'all ever wore nugget rings? The wrong kind of nugget ring. A nugget ring you probably got somewhere you shouldn't have got. And that's where mine came from. And I put, somebody owed me a substantial amount of money and we just traded. I traded something gold for something white. I'll let y'all go from there. I gave my wife-to-be this gold nugget ring and she put it on her hand and she was so wild because we were gonna be married. And she had on the gold nugget ring in church. Let me just show you how strong the light is. Because this is petty, as I tell the story. But it was a big deal to me. Because the woman I was going to marry, I saw in true light. Y'all with me? And I put this beautiful ring on. I don't even know what the ring was worth now, but it was probably close to an ounce. What is an ounce of gold now? Anybody following the markets? Y'all remember when an ounce hit $1,000? That wasn't that long ago. It hurt. So I thought about that ring. And my wife-to-be had her hands up like this, worshiping in church. And I saw the sparkle off that ring. And I remembered where that ring came from. And the person I traded for that ring. And I remembered everything that I did in darkness. And that darkness came right back to light. So much I took that ring from her. Discreetly and nicely said, well, I got to have that ring back. We go to a holiness church anyway. And I brought that ring and I gave it to the pastor and I said, hey, man, can you turn this into money? I'll give it to you in an offering. And he looked at it and goes, huh? And he took the ring through an offering and held the ring up in the middle of the church, of which I was not planning on any of that happening. And he hollered, look what Brother Keith gave me. A gold ring. And we had got it on the pawn shop. And he said, brother, how much is gold going for? And I forgot what it was at that time. It didn't matter. I was just glad to see that thing gone. Because it reminded me of something I had in darkness. None to say the least, before the end of the church service, he had asked everybody that had any extra gold that wanted to trade it in. You know how them evangelists do. saw some herringbone chains and a couple other things people that had on it. I guess the light shined on and we raised up enough money in that church service. We was working on the roof of the church. I think it almost paid for the church service, and I always thought about that. I tell you that story just how much the light is. I'm not against gold rings. I'm not against anything like that. But that ring was bad for me. It meant something bad to me. In your life, when you go home and true light shines and you're looking around and digging around in the house, even today, if you've been filled with the Holy Ghost for years, something could have crept in your homestead that don't belong in true light. And no matter how petty it is to someone else, it's a big deal to you. We're not crossing doctrines. We're not trading scriptures. I'm talking about within yourself. When the true light shines, there's no greater doctrine than the doctrine we teach, because we teach true light in apostolic Pentecostal churches. There's many people sitting in church today still confused and still wondering, huh, there got to be more, because it doesn't have any light in it. Not true light. There's lights on it. The doctrine's got shadows in it. We cannot always understand why when the light comes on. Could you imagine Brother Click, the poor blind kid, going, why I had to be blind? All the other little neighborhood kids can see. I know, because when they come to play with me, they can't realize how good I can hear to make up for my blindness. I hear whispers. You go play with Click. A little old clique sitting over there in the blind corner, riding on the blind bus. Wonders what's, wait a minute. You know, today in our adult class, as we get ready to end, it doesn't matter what your mom and daddy did. It's not your fault. You ever see little kids in the household and they just look so miserable and you feel for the kid and you always say, well, be nice to that kid. It ain't his fault. It ain't her fault. The mamas and daddies. Whatever doctrine you came from, it's not your fault. The life that you are living now, maybe it could be your fault a little bit. But guess what? It still doesn't matter. The whys don't matter when we're in the house of God. The whys don't matter when you're in your car sitting alone, pondering on whether it's the true light. The why doesn't matter when you're sitting at your office, sitting in your desk, riding in your company vehicle, when you're asking yourself why. Whys don't matter. When the true light comes and allows you to see the glorious light, it's soft enough, it doesn't burn. It's not a welding light. It doesn't flash and blind you. It's a soft light, but yet it's so bright it can see. If you would, let's all stand. Jesus came that he would be the great I am to us. When your true light is shining in your life, you will see what your purpose is. You will see what you were born for. I tell a lot of people at work, I wasn't born to live and die in a citrus plant. Your occupation, your job, we weren't born for that purpose. Amen. If true light dwells within you, your purpose is to get out there and save the lost. Yes. All day long. And guess what? The fields are full. They're plentiful. There's loss everywhere. Amen. I would ask you today, let's pray for one another. Look around, see somebody standing up next to you on both sides if you want. Catch a face and say, I might not know their name, but I like that person. I'm going to pray for that person right now. Lord, in Jesus' name, as we pray for one another, God, that the light that shines through us and in us, God, has no shadows. Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would move by your grace and your mercy and your power, that we could win souls with the truth that you've shared with us, that we could use the light that is within us to guide others' footsteps to truth, Lord. Lord, as you did in the many, many powerful, wonderful Bible stories, that your light shined on others. Let that light shine through us to help others be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone say amen.
Amen.
Please remember, intermission, and get ready for next church service. God bless y'all.